Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. May the Lord be with you on this Thursday evening. We have our Bible study today. We are setting everything up for the coming weeks. It's very important. Today we were supposed to have a special guest, but unfortunately something happened and he could not make it today. He'll make it a different day. What I want to give you a little disclaimer in the beginning, and that is that the songs that we play on the program, they do not belong to Pastor Carlos Ramos. They do not belong to the host, The Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle, and they do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the song, and because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, in it. We have permission to use the songs. So this last song was called Dance With Me, Lord. And, you know, that's going to happen. Hallelujah. And in the supper of the Lamb, or the wedding of the Lamb, we're going to dance with the Lord. It's going to be a tremendous festival. Glory be to the Lord. And that's why we urge you to tell your unsaved loved ones, to tell your unsaved friends and acquaintances to get saved and show them how, so they too could be a partaker of the supper of the Lamb, the wedding and feast, and that they may dance with the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we started a new series of study, and that is, it's called What's Next? Well, first of all, let me give you a little disclaimer. We don't put dates and times to anything. Well, we do present certain events that we believe will occur in its time. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So today's lesson is we're going to go over those events that we think are going to happen. And then next week, we're going to begin our lesson, the first lesson on the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. So let me read first before we go on what the scripture talks about here. In Revelations, beginning in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true." Let's keep that in our hearts, my brothers and sisters. Chapter 22, verse 6. "These sayings are faithful and true." This is what the angel is telling John, and what Jesus told the angels to tell him, and what the Father gave the Son. "These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets." Hallelujah. "The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done." So they haven't been done yet. It's futuristic. Some things are symbolic, some things are true. We have to pray and ask God for revelation. We read the Logos word, what's on the paper, but we need the Rhema word, which is the revelatorial word. "Behold," Jesus said, "I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then say he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And you remember the first time the angel said that was in chapter 1. "Blessed is he that read it, keep it, the words of this book, for the time is at hand." verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without the dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever love it and make it a lie, all these people are going to end up in hell, in the great white throne. Glory. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take care, take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. He which testifies these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. So we read Revelations 22, 1 to 21. And as we go forward, one of the key verses that you must remember in your heart, you must keep it in your heart, and that is chapter 22 and verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. These sayings are faithful and true. Glory be to the Lord. So that's Revelations. And in the events to future events, we have about 34 different events that are going to occur. We're going to go over each one. But we're not going to study them today. We're just going to enumerate them today. It starts from the rapture, which is our next event that we are believing is going to occur, is the rapture of the church. We have an imminent expectation that the rapture could take place at any time. So it's not a question of, you know, I got to get holy. You must be holy and righteous. You must be ready now. You don't have time to get ready. Remember the parable of the ten virgins? Five were wise and five were foolish. Well, what happened to the foolish ones? Why they weren't able to make it in? Well, they got up. They realized they didn't have enough oil. They wanted to buy off the other virgins. The other virgins said, no, go out and buy yourself. So they went. They left the security of where they were at. They went. And the husbandman came, the bridegroom came, and by the time the five foolish virgins got back, it was too late. The five wise virgins went into the room with the bridegroom and closed the door so nobody could go in and nobody could go out. I would recommend, if you have the time, to look at the movie called The Day Before the Wrath. It's very interesting because it talks about a Galilean wedding. And if you remember, the disciples and Jesus was from Galilee. So we have to look at the wedding from the perspective of the Galilean eyes. Because you could also look at it through the Jewish eyes, but but it'd be a different events. So we have to look at it to the Galilean lies, and Jesus gave a lot of examples of weddings and husbands and wives, and you have to understand where he's coming from. So we know that the events is, we believe, is going to start with the rapture. The church is going to be removed from this earth. From the rapture to the creation of the new earth, heaven, and Jerusalem. Why the new earth, heaven, and Jerusalem? Because the old earth, the old heaven, rolled away. And the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven, and Jesus Christ will reign. Let's look at the events that we believe would occur, and that is the future events. And I just want to put a little disclaimer, that is the information that we gather for these classes, for these teachings, comes from the popular Encyclopedia of Bible Prophecy, written by Tim LaHaye, who went home to be with the Lord, and Ed Heinsohn. Glory be to the Lord. The Bible says, give credit where credit is due. So we're going to look at the rapture of the church. We're going to look at the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. How come there's three? There's three opinions. I'm of the opinion that the church will be raptured up before the tribulation time. So I'm a pre-tribber. I don't believe the church was assigned to go to tribulation. If we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, we have not been appointed to the wrath of God or to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that. In the mid-trib, well, you know, we're going to look at that. And post-trib, we're going to look at that. Then after the rapture comes the judgment seat of Christ. So when we are taken up into heaven, the church is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Then down on earth, there will be the appearance of the Antichrist. After that, the appearance of the false prophet, the organization of the Holy Church, the revival of the Roman Empire. Then you have the Antichrist 7-year peace treaty with Israel. Now you have to understand that from the moment that the Antichrist is revealed, because the church is taken up, the tribulation has started. So the first 3.5 years of tribulation, you know, Israel is going to go through, the people is going to go through. It's going to be bad, but it's not going to be as bad as this last 3.5 years. So what happens is, after the revival of the Roman Empire, you have the Antichrist 7-year peace treaty with Israel. The nations come together and he agrees. He's very subtle. He's not going to conquer through war. He's going to conquer through his verbiage, the way he speaks. And he's going to agree with the treaty with Israel. Then there's going to be 144,000 of the Jewish brothers and sisters who are going to evangelize the world, because there's going to be a great falling away, according to Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, a lot of people is going to leave the faith. So there's going to be a lot of falling away, but there is also going to be a revival. Then that peace treaty gives the Jewish people the rebuilding of the third Jewish temple. And that's why they accept him as the Messiah, because they were able to rebuild the Jewish temple. Then you got the ministry of the two witnesses. My personal opinion, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. The only two people that have not died are Elijah and Enoch. So my personal opinion is that the two witnesses could be Elijah and Enoch, but it could also be the Jewish nation and the Gentile nations. Just like the two loaves, here you have the two witnesses, or the two olive trees. It all speaks of the same thing. Then you have the beginning of the seven seal judgments. You have Gog and Magog invasion into Israel. We're going to look at the background of the invasion. We're going to look at the ID of Gog and Magog, find who they are. And the central lesson of the conflict. What is the central lesson of the conflict? Then after that, we're going to see the martyrdom of the two witnesses. They're going to die, and they, you know, Satan is going to kill them, and they're going to lay their bodies on the ground there for 3.5 days. And then the Lord resurrects them and brings them to heaven. So they're going to be raptured up too. Then you got the abomination of the desolation on the temple. And that says once the temple is built and the Jewish people are doing the sacrifices, suddenly after 3.5 years begins the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. The Antichrist wants to stop time. He stops the sacrifices, and he brings in an image which is control, and somehow he speaks. And the false prophet wants people to take the mark of the beast in the right hand of the forehead. Well, actually, in Revelation chapter 13, it says he forces everyone to take the mark of the beast. So if you're not part of the Jewish people who, when they see the abomination of desolation, they run to the mountains to be saved, and, you know, they're going to be in Petra, but the Antichrist cannot come against them in Petra. God's protecting them. God's protecting them. Then you got, after the abomination of desolation, you have the full manifestation of the Antichrist, as is when we believe that Satan himself takes over that body. There's a worldwide persecution of Israel. There's a destruction of the religious Babylon. Remember, there's a false religion out there that's going to attract a lot of believers, a lot of non-believers. I say a lot of believers because the Bible says they're going to leave their faith and they're going to accept demon doctrines of demons. So the false religion, you know, will let them go through. And then we see the seven trumpet judgment begin, seven bowl judgments. We're going to see the destruction of the economic and political Babylon. We're going to see the battle of Armageddon. Now we know it starts at Armageddon, but when you look at the prophets, the war is taken to Jerusalem itself. And when that occurs and they start crying out to the Lord, then you get the second coming of Christ. He's going to come back. And we read that in Revelation chapter 19 and 20. And he's going to come back with the army of heaven, which is we, the born again Christians, and the angels of God. But he's not going to do anything but speak. And he's going to destroy the enemy with the breath of his mouth. Glory be to the Lord. Then you have the regathering and judgment of Israel. Jesus Christ is going to go to Petra. He's going to bring the remnant out. And the word of God says that he's going to have a 1,000-year reign, a millennial reign, where all nations, Gentiles and Jews, are going to come and celebrate tabernacles or booths. Glory to the Lord. Yes, Gentiles and Jews together at one table. If you look at The Chosen, there is an episode where one of the disciples asks Jesus, I believe it's Big James, asks Jesus, you mean to tell me that the Gentiles and the Jews are going to sit at this table to celebrate this? And Jesus says, yes. And that's the promise of the Father. And then you have the judgment of the nations, the judgment of angels, the resurrection of the Old Testament and traditional saints. Those are saints that have gone before us. And then you have the casting of Satan into the abyss. Jesus, when he comes, he comes with a big key and a chain. He gives it to the angel. The angel ties up Satan, and he tosses him into the abyss and locks it. And for 1,000 years, he is locked up. He can't do nothing. And then back in heaven or on earth, we have to read the scriptures carefully. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glory. They swear in Jesus Christ marries the church, and we become one. And Jesus has a millennial reign. And then after 1,000 years, Satan will be loose for a little while. And it's called Satan's final revolt. Final revolt. And we're going to see the final revolt, the depravity of mankind, embracing darkness. But the good news is that even though the devil recruits a lot of people to come his way, because during the tribulation time, there are going to be people that are going to have families and babies. And some of them will be for the Lord, and some of them will not be for the Lord. And those that will not will be together with the Antichrist in the final revolt. And then after the final revolt, you have the great white throne judgment, the second resurrection, where the dead who has rebelled against Jesus and those that are alive will be judged in the great white throne. And the status is whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. So you have the Antichrist, Satan, false prophet. You're going to have those people that took the mark of the beast. And you're going to have those people that their names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life all be thrown into the lake of fire. The second death. Glory be to the Lord. Then you're going to have the destruction of this present earth and heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, it says. Jesus said it himself in Matthew 3:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. And then after the millennial reign, and just prior to the Lord God taking everything over, it says he recreates. We have a new earth, a new heaven, and Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Glory be to the Lord. Those are these subtopics that we're going to read. If there are some that are still out there, and you know, you could call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944 and share with us. Or if you like, you could put your evidence together, your verses together, your chapters together, and email the church at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or you could call the pastor and share that way at 772-626-3178. And that could be after 7 p.m. or during the daytime if you like. Glory be to those are the future events that we're going to be talking about. So the first thing that we're going to be looking at next Thursday, if the Pastor Robbie Newman is available, then next Thursday he'll start with the teaching, the rapture of the church. If not, I do it. And after we're going to look at the rapture of the church, try to get in pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. That's all we're going to talk about next week. We're going to take one future event at a time. We're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to take a lot of notes. And I want you to take the notes, take the scriptures, and restudy them even after the program is over, so you could have an idea more or less what what is expected of you. You know, sometimes people go to colleges to get certificates or on this type of information, you know, or they take, but this servant has been given the word of God, and the Lord told me to give it out. Freely I receive, freely I give out. I don't charge for anything. And all I just ask for you to be faithful with your studies. Just like Revelation 22:6, it says these words are faithful and true. So we must be take it in likewise and understand that we have to be faithful and true to the things of the Lord. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe I could begin, and we could start in page 309. If you're able to get your book, your encyclopedia of Bible prophecy, we're going to be in page 309. We're going to start it off and see what it says. Talking about the rapture. We're going to read about the rapture, the blessed hope. What does rapture mean? Will the rapture be pre-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture? Is inconsequential. The tribulation is not impending. The content of 1 Thessalonians, John parables, rapture and the return, the promise of deliverance, question and answers. Glory to the Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at. So I'm going to start off slowly since we got 20-something minutes to go. I'm going to start with the reading of the rapture. And it could be next week we have a different style, different information. It's okay. The rapture of the church is one of the most compelling and exciting prophetic events in the Bible. It is clearly taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 to 18, where the Apostle Paul provides us with these details. And I'm going to read to you now these verses. This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. And, you know, you can't dispute what it says there. Where it says caught up is the Greek word harpazo. And it means taken out by force. And that word harpazo is a word that is used for rapture. Now, you might not find the word rapture in the English translation, but you'll find it in the Latin translation, rapilmo, rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there is a rapture. When we read at the Gideon Bible, 1559 version, when it talks about don't let nobody deceive you, for the day of the Lord will come unto you, but there'll be a departing first. Some Bibles translate that word that they use as departing. Is they translate it as rebellion. Sometimes they translate it as fallen away. But the original translation that they used way back when, even way before the King James Version was departure. There will be a departure first. So yes, there'll be a rapture first. Departure, rapture. Departure means moving from one place to another. Like I take a plane from West Palm Beach to LaGuardia. That's a departure. That's a moving from one place to another. And that's what's going to happen to the church. We're going to be moved from this earth up to the clouds. And as we're going up, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to have a changed body. We're going to have a glorified body just like him. Glory be to the Lord. So the church is not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a rapture. This passage of scripture delineates five stages to the rapture. One, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the sound of a trumpet. Two, the dead in Christ will rise first. Three, we who are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. The Greek word is harpazo, together with them in the clouds. Four, we will meet the Lord and we shall always be with him. The Apostle Paul also unveiled what he called a mystery pertaining to the rapture. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-53, he explained that some Christians will not sleep, which also means death, but their bodies will be instantaneously transformed. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And I'm reading the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 53. Paul writes, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is what will happen when the rapture takes place. Without warning, the bodies of all believers who have died since the day of Pentecost will suddenly be transformed into new, living, immortal, resurrected bodies. Even those whose bodies have long since decayed or whose ashes have been scattered out over the oceans will receive a new body. This new body will be joined together with the person's spirit, which Jesus will bring with him. Then the bodies of those who have likewise accepted Christ as their Savior and are alive at the moment will also be instantaneously translated into new immortal bodies. Together, all believers will be instantaneously transported into the heavens to meet the Lord. Those who are alive and have rejected the salvation of Jesus Christ will remain behind on the earth and will witness a miraculous event of astounding proportion. The sudden mass disappearance of millions upon millions of people from the face of the earth. Glory be to the Lord. The rapture is also called the blessed hope. The rapture is often referred to as the blessed hope in Titus 2:13 because it provides assurance to believers who are concerned about the coming tribulation, and it offers comfort to those who long to be reunited with their departed loved ones who share a faith in Christ. The more than 300 biblical references to the second coming of Christ clearly show that his return has two distinct phases. The contrasting elements cannot be merged into a single event. See the article titled Second Coming of Christ. In the first phase, he will come suddenly to rapture his church in the air and take all believers to his Father's house in fulfillment of his promise in John 14:1-3. There they will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:8-10. While the believers are in heaven, those left behind on the earth will experience the trials of the 7-year tribulation period. In the second phase of Jesus' second coming, the glorious appearing, he will return to earth in great power and glory to set up his millennium kingdom. The entire second coming has been compared to a 2-act play, the rapture and the glorious appearing, with a 7-year intermission, the tribulation. The Apostle Paul distinguishes between these two phases in Titus 2:13, where he refers to the rapture as the blessed hope and the return of Christ to the earth as the glorious appearing. Glory be, glory be. What does rapture mean? The English word rapture comes from the Latin word rapidus, which in Latin Bible translation translates the Greek word harpazo, used 14 times in the New Testament. The basic idea of the word is to suddenly remove or snatch away. It is used by the New Testament writers in reference to stealing or plundering, Matthew 11:12, 12:29, and 13:19, John 10:12, 28-29, and removing John 6:15, Acts 8:39, Acts 23:10, and Jude 23. The New Testament employs a third use, which focuses on being caught up on to heaven. It describes Paul's third heaven experience, 2 Corinthians 12:2-4, and Christ's ascension to heaven, Revelation 12:5. Obviously, harpazo is the perfect word to describe God's sudden take-up of the church from the earth to heaven at the first part of Christ's second coming. Glory be to the... We're going to stop there, because then it gets into the pre-trib, post-trib, and I don't want to bring no confusion to you. So we looked at what the rapture is, what the rapture is not, what happens during the rapture, and what you should expect. Now, the one thing with the rapture is, you know, there's no signs. There's nothing to let you know when it's going to occur. Jesus said nobody knows the hour nor the day. Not even the sun, not even the angels in heaven, only God himself. Just like when you look at the movie The Day Before the Wrath, and you look at the Galilean wedding, after the engagement, the bridegroom goes out and he picks the furniture, he picks everything to build the beautiful room attached to the father's house. But he doesn't know when he's going to go get his bride. He just know he's going to wait on his father. And the bride doesn't know when the husbandman is coming. So she's ready every day. Every day she has that wedding gown on, and it's without spot or wrinkle. Because it could occur today, it could occur tonight. She doesn't know. And so, you know, when the second coming happens, we read it in Matthew 24, that he will come in the clouds with power and great power and glory. And all eyes will see him. When you look around you and you see the problems that are occurring in this world, Jesus said, when you see these things, look up for your redemption during the night. That means Jesus is coming soon. We don't have to worry, you know, unless we're out of the will of the Father. the Jewish people will see Jesus coming. They'll see the nail prints in his wrist. They'll see the spear wound to the side. They'll see the whippings in his back, the pain, the skin being torn apart. They're going to see where the crown of thorns was laying on his head. And they're going to ask them, according to Zechariah, where did you get these injuries from? Where did you get these wounds from? And Jesus is going to reply and says, I got them in my friend's house. And they're going to cry because they're going to realize, the Jewish people are going to realize that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the true Messiah. And no one could have those signs except Jesus Christ. They asked for a sign, remember? And Jesus said, I will not give you no sign except the sign of Jonah. He will be in the belly of the beast for 3 days and three nights. And so is the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But those wounds that he occurred as a sign to them. But they're looking for something. Even remember Thomas didn't want to believe, but when he was able to see the nail prints and the sides and put his hands there, he kneeled down before Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that believe and have not seen. That's us, my brothers and sisters. We haven't seen, we don't know Christ after the flesh. But we know him after the spirit. So we have an imminent expectation that this rapture of the church, harpazo, us being caught up, it could happen at any time, in any second, even before the end of this program. So I beseech you, brothers and sisters, if you don't know the Lord, it is time to know the Lord. Because the word of God says tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And remember one thing, your breath is dictated by the Lord. If he takes your spirit away, you have no breath and you're not going to breathe. You die. Your body will die. You know? Some people believe that some people, you know, they could commit suicide that will make it in still. I don't believe that because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. If you contemplate sin in your heart and you want to kill, well, you're breaking the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. You don't have an opportunity when you die to ask for forgiveness. You will be in your sin. So there's no way. I believe that God is going to make an exception for anyone who does that. Take, you know, only he gave life. Only he could take it away. So, you know, there is something that we have to think about, something that we got to pray about, our loved ones or anyone that we know that have taken away their life because they believe that is, you know, they can't deal with it no more. That's something better on the other side. But the problem is that, you know, when you leave this body, you're going to go before God. If you're a non-believer, if you forfeit your faith, then you're waiting for the second resurrection, the resurrection of the unrighteous. And you're going to be in the ground waiting. Your body's going to be in the ground waiting. You're going to be in hell. And then you're going to go to the grave white throne judgment. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's the eternity, my brothers and sisters. So think about it. You know, if God was to judge you right now for your breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. Because the Bible says if you broke one, you broke them all. So if God was to judge you by his commandments, you know, I venture to say all of us will be guilty before him. And heaven will not be our home. But because of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins, God the Father will allow us to enter in, and he will not hold a charge against us because the blood of Jesus Christ covers us. And when he sees us, he'll see the blood. He won't see our sinful nature because that will be covered under the blood. And so it is that reason that you should investigate Christ Jesus for yourself. Because you don't know when you go before God. You know, if you go to the judgment seat of Christ, where you receive rewards from Jesus Christ, then you have made it in. But if you go to the great white throne, your name is not going to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because had your name been in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be in the judgment seat of Christ. You will be in heaven. You will not be heading to the lake of fire. So, you know, think about it. Think about it. If you like additional information, you could call Pastor Ramos at 772-626-3178. Or you could email the church at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. Or if you have the time, you can call us at 516-418-5944 here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Sunday at 6 p.m. for Bible Mystery, every Tuesday at 3 a.m. for Intercessory Prayer, and every Thursday at 6 p.m. for Bible Study. Glory be to the Lord. And I urge you that when you have the opportunity, please go to church and assemble with other believers and worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, because God is great. God is good. God should be lifted up on high. Jesus Christ is God. And you want to be, lift him up. Lift him up. Tell others about Jesus Christ. And you'll see the goodness of the Lord fall upon you. The grace of God fall upon you. The anointing of God fall upon you. And those people that hear the word will be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And they too could be saved, as we believe the Holy Spirit will bring them in to save them. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, according to the clock here, we got 40 seconds to go. It should be a couple more minutes, but we have to go by the clock. Something wasn't right today with the studio clock. It started way before the program started. So we're going to give you an opportunity, you know, as you pray, to ask Christ to come into your heart, repent of your sins, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, call upon his name, you shall be saved. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be. Hallelujah. And according to the scripture, according to what we see at the studio, we're still on the air. Although the time has lapsed, it's not showing no time, but I know we have about 3 minutes to go. So we want to continue to pray, my brothers and sisters, and understand that your life is, you know, Christ gave his life for your life. He stood in your place. We deserve to die on the cross, but he died for us so we could be safe. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. Lord God, we ask that you touch the hearts of people by your Holy Spirit, draw them unto you so they could be saved. Father God, let them repent of their sin. Let them give the sins over unto you. Accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and let them allow Christ to wash them with the precious blood of the Lamb. Father God, and give them the hunger and the thirst to study your word, that you bring them to a church that they'll grow spiritually And when the appropriate time that they'll go and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and let them receive the Holy Spirit so they could be a witness unto Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you at this moment. We know that you hear our prayer. And even before we ask, you have answered. So, Father God, I don't know who's out there who opened their heart up to you and gave their life unto you, but I pray, Father God, that you will receive all the glory due unto you, oh Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, it's not of myself, it's only about you. We lift you up, Lord Jesus, because you're the one who left your throne in heaven, came down, took upon a human body, and became obedient as to a servant, and obedient all the way to the cross, oh Lord Jesus. And you did what the Father told you to do. You spoke the words of the Father so people could understand. They don't have to wait no longer for Yeshua ben David or Yeshua ben Joseph. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach from the tribe of David, from the family of David, was born in Bethlehem via a virgin, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And he became our sacrifice lamb to take away the sins of the world. He fulfilled the prophecies that you have said to your prophets, oh Lord God. He fulfilled those prophecies. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that even though that we are Gentiles, you gave us an opportunity to be grafted in. You gave us an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And although we know that Yeshua HaMashiach came to save and seek that which was lost from the nation of Israel, but Lord, the word of God says that he will be a light unto the Gentiles. And we've seen a great light, and we accepted that light, Lord, and illuminated our hearts. And we ask, Lord Father God, that we remain are faithful to you, Lord Father God, and holy and righteous. So that day comes where you're going to take the church, Father God, that we'll be in that number. We don't be left behind to suffer the tribulation time, oh Father God. Look upon our loved ones. Thank you for Deborah, who's in Africa. Lord, you helping her. You're being with her as she continues to minister to those people there. Thank you for Carlito and his wife. Father God, they're going to be saved. Thank you for Alexia and Uriah and Autumn. They're going to be saved. Father God, they are saved. Thank you for Elijah and Ariella. They are saved, Father God. I call it out. Thank you for Rondell and Chantel and the four kids. They are saved, Father God. Thank you for Howard and Kimberly and the baby. They are saved, Lord God, for your glory. Thank you for Christian, Father God, for Leah and for Chastity. They are saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for myself. Thank you that we are saved, Father God, and we glorify you in all that we do, Father God. And I just thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the puppy that you brought my way. Give me the knowledge and the help to help that puppy to grow, to do the right thing, oh Father God. Lord, and I just pray and I thank you that you restore the family, the marriage of Deborah and I, Father God, so we could worship you in spirit and truth. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, you're doing marvelous things, great things. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I thank you. Amen. Brothers and sisters, until Sunday at 6 o'clock, well, we'll be back with Bible Mystery. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.